talking about doctrine. And so I didn't want to assume that everybody just knew what doctrine meant. And it's funny when you think of when we talked about the importance of Scripture, I believe at least four times 2 Timothy 3:16 was mentioned or cited, which says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is good for doctrine, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. So the purpose of Scripture is doctrine. And so what is doctrine, you ask? It's not difficult to define. Like a lot of things in this faith, they're not difficult to define. They're just difficult to actually do or apply. But doctrine, quite simply, the easiest way I could say it is truths of the Christian faith. That is what doctrine is. And these are real truths, actual truths, things that we cannot disagree on. They're not things like we can disagree on things and chat about things and debate on things like, are we Calvinist and we believe in predestination, or Arminian and believe in more free will sort of thinking. We can talk about, does God still do miracles? Does God have certain gifts ceased and do they no longer exist? We can talk about those things, and that's fun, and we can duke it out. But we cannot disagree on, did Jesus born, was he born of a virgin, live a perfect life, die, raise again for our sins? Those are things we cannot disagree on. So when we talk about doctrine, that is what we're talking about. We're talking about truths of this faith. And we've covered a few so far. The first week, we talked about repentance. Pastor Barry came over with a different version of the Scottish accent, which I enjoyed quite a bit, and kind of just a new light, and made it very simple and very applicable, this very, very difficult topic of repentance. Last week, Pastor Crystal talked about forgiveness and our need to forgive one another as believers because we were first forgiven, and she demonstrated that through the life of Joseph, and so that was wonderful. Today, I get sanctification. I know what you're thinking, as my son would say, light work. Not so much. It is not light work. It is quite challenging work, actually. So before we get going, let me pray for this, and then maybe we'll be able to figure out sanctification. Father, we thank you for your incredible goodness and your loving grace on our lives, Lord. We thank you for truths that you've given us, Lord, things that we can cling to, things that we can hold on to. When all else might fail, we know those things to be true, Father. So we pray that you would reveal something brand new about sanctification to us today, Lord, that we would hear what you would have us hear, and that we would know you more by the end of this hour, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sanctification, basically the root word has to deal with saint, and it is dealing with holiness. So to sanctify something means to set it apart for a special use or for a holy use. To sanctify a person means to make him holy or to make them holy. So sanctification is the process of becoming holy. That's it. So just go be holy. No problem, right? We could wrap up early. They didn't fill the whole time. That's it, but that is the process of becoming holy, and it sounds impossible because it is without the proper guidance, and hopefully we're going to get to some of that today. But this is the process of becoming holy. I've always thought of this as the process of being cleansed and being cleaned over and over again. So, for instance, I remember when I was like a little kid, I used to play outside. I know you don't do that anymore, but that's what we did in the 80s. So I played outside, and I remember there's one distinct time that I got a new and amazing level of dirty. I had dirt, so much dirt on me and my hair. I was a different color. I couldn't move because it was like in my pores and in my joints. I was in my ears. I was just incredibly dirty. So I don't know. So I went in there, and I got in the bath, which instantly became mud. I do remember, so I had to did the best I could in the bath, then I got in the shower and washed out my ears and everything, and I remember I could actually feel the weight difference of the removal of this dirt from my body, and it was amazing, but it felt good. I actually felt lighter. I felt I could move. I had freedom. That was a little kid. I remember I liked the tub. My mom was not happy about the tub situation, but it was real, and that's what it was like. So that's what this is. That's what sanctification it is. It's this constant process of becoming cleaner and more clean every day. It is the process of moving away from sin and towards holiness. It is the process of removing unrighteousness and moving towards righteousness. And Hebrews 10 says it this way, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin." This is, I think, you know how you're never supposed to say never and always? Well, if the Bible says never, you probably ought to take note. And so here, this is in the Jewish culture and the Jewish religion, priests would stand daily ministering, offering sacrifices over and over daily in the hopes to cover up sin or to hide sin or to pay a small penance for sin. But what it could never do is it could never take away sin, ever. But, this is the sweet but. But this man, that's capital M, that's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's us. We are the ones being sanctified, and he did it with one sacrifice, one time, that paid and eliminated the penalty of all sin forever. That is awesome news. And that is what he did. Martin Luther, let me say this. Here's the good news. I know what we want. And this is what I was, when I started studying, I'm like, okay, I'll give some nice steps to sanctification. Should be no problem. We'll do 3 steps, 10 steps, 12 steps, whatever. That's what we want as Americans. We want a 10-step program. Okay, I've done these 10 steps. Congratulations, you're sanctified. Move on. But that doesn't happen. That's not what sanctification is. Sanctification is a process from the day you're saved until the day you die, unless Jesus comes first. And then the process is over, and we move from sanctification to complete sanctification to glorification. And that is an incredibly good news. But there is one step that you can't leave out, that's impossible to leave out, and that is justification. Step for us is justification. And justification is the act by which God moves a person from the state of sin or being condemned to the state of grace, which is righteousness. Justification, there is only one source of justification, and that source is Christ on the cross, paying for our sins once and for all, removing those sins from us. And then from that moment forward, once we accept, I said an easy step, not easy for Jesus. It was horrible and brutal for Jesus. For us, it's a matter of accepting and believing. And from that moment forward, we should be on a journey of sanctification, which is that process of becoming holy. What justification is, it is Christ's righteousness taking the place of our unrighteousness. It is Christ's holiness in place of our unholiness. When God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the goodness and the grace of Christ. That's what he sees, and that is how we begin this journey. Martin Luther says it this way. He says, "We are justified by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone." That is some awesome news. You see, per usual, anything that Jesus asks of us or expects from us, he does the heavy lifting. He did the hard work here. He did everything that it took for us to be justified so that we can one day be sanctified. And that is the only way that we can do it. We will only be fully sanctified when we stand with Christ in glory or upon his return. I think there's a pretty common mistake that we make as Christians, just in general, but even thinking about sanctification. We think being a Christian is being good. We're like, I'm good. I'm better than I was. That's what we think. And then also think sanctification. We think that being sanctified means that we stop doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff. And that's just not what it is. I know Pastor Peters said it before, that Christ did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And that is what this is. And that's what sanctification is. It's this process of becoming more and more alive in Christ. And so what happens is we think, I'll be better, I'll just get good, and then that's Christianity. But that's not it. And I know that we act like that because that's what the world thinks. That's what people, when they watch, they think, oh, Christians are lame. I don't want to do that. It's boring. But it's not. It's awesome. And that's something that we're missing dramatically. That's a Christian mistake, is that we think being a Christian is the process of becoming good. And it ain't it. So if you're waiting till you're good to do something, like if you're waiting till you're good to help with the youth, stop. Just don't wait. Forget that crap. Just move on. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my heroes of the faith. If you don't know who he was an Austrian theologian that lived in the time of Nazi Germany. And he did not disagree. He did not agree or succumb to the Nazi rule or reign. And yet he stood up against it and fought against it out loud. And he was a great theologian, brilliant man, and a pacifist. And so I can imagine the torment that he went through to come to the conclusion that the only way that Germany could be what God wanted it to be is if Hitler was dead. And so he was part of an assassination attempt on Adolf Hitler. And as a pastor, I can imagine the torment that he went through to get to that place. If you haven't, the movie Valkyrie is about that assassination attempt. He was also imprisoned, of course, and eventually died. But this is what he says. He says sanctification means that Christians have been judged already. So I want to break that down just a little bit, because what is true even more so than that is everybody has been judged already. Every person has been judged already, and they've been judged according to their own righteousness, which is completely void, and they are judged according to their sin, which we are all judged according to our sin, and we stand condemned, as it says in John 3:17. We stand condemned already because the wages of sin is death, and that's the penalty. But fortunately, he says Christians have already been judged, and that has been judged through justification, and we've been adjudicated. We've been found innocent. We've been found free because of the work that Christ did on the cross. That is justification, and that is what it means. But sanctification is that they are being preserved until the coming of Christ and ever advancing towards it. Sanctification is the preservation and the progress in our faith. And here's the thing is, you don't have to be that good at it. That's what we think. We're like, oh, I'm not good yet. I'm not ready yet. I can't do those things yet. And that's just not the case. Sanctification is not about being good. And if you think that is what Christianity is about in general, then you are sadly mistaken. I'd like to think of the heroes of our faith. Let's think about the heroes of the faith that we talk about. I'll rattle a few names off here. These are famous biblical characters that we all hold in very high regard. Jacob, Moses, King David, Solomon, Jeremiah, Peter. Think about these people. Paul was one of them. Paul was a Pharisee that was a declared enemy of Christ, that was responsible for the death of Christians, that certainly rounded it up and imprisoned them. Peter, he denied Christ 3 times when his friend, the one that loved him more than anyone, needed him the most the night of his crucifixion. King David, what a loser. I know it says he was a man after God's own heart, but he killed more people than we can possibly fathom. Yeah, we know about Uriah. He killed Uriah because he had an affair with Bathsheba and all that stuff. But he killed Uriah. But Uriah was also, he didn't just kill some dude in the kingdom. Uriah was one of his mighty men of valor. And he killed one of his closest confidants, one that had protected him probably many, many times. Not to mention many, many others, hundreds. There's a story that's quite disturbing I almost told, but I'm not going to. And then if you've ever been in going deeper, you know that Jacob is probably my least favorite person in the entire Bible. Nancy's giving me the eye roll right now. I cannot stand Jacob. I do not understand Jacob. I think he's a complete loser. He was a bad son. He was a bad brother. He was a bad husband, and he was a terrible father. You know, he was not good. But here's the thing is that God did amazing things through these people despite how bad they were. That's what makes them notable. That's what makes them amazing is that God did this incredible work through them despite the fact that they were not good. You know, none of these people that I just mentioned would qualify to volunteer in our nursery. They wouldn't. We'd be like, sorry, you don't pass the basic background check. So that's important. Also, they need volunteers in nursery. Just saying. So if you could. So as I've been going through this and thinking and dwelling and praying on this and reading scriptures and all of these things, I think that too often maybe we think wrongly about sanctification or about our journey of sanctification or us becoming hopefully more and more righteous through our days. I think we think of it as I just have to do holier stuff. I have to stop doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff. I have to stop doing this and start doing that. And there's some truth to that. I mean, this is not like a get out of jail free card necessarily. Jesus already did that. But so if you have incredibly bad habits, they're bad for you and bad for your family, they don't properly represent the kingdom of God, you should stop doing those. If you have addictions, if you're addicted to pornography or to drugs or alcohol or video games, then you should stop doing those things. But not stopping doing those things is not going to necessarily make you more holy. You should stop doing those things because they keep us from God. They separate us from God. It's a stunt in our pattern of sanctification. And the reason it is not because they're sins, although they may be. It's because they're lame. God has not called us to do lame and boring stuff and to waste our very precious time that we have here on earth, that he has called us to do amazing things. And that is part of our process of sanctification. I don't know if you know this week, but we lost one of the great saints to ever don the door of this church and probably any church. Honestly, she was an amazing woman, Miss Betty Strombeck, and she was incredible. And you probably thought, oh, she's a nice older lady. And you are completely wrong. She was a freaking rock star. She was overwhelmingly amazing. She was a radical person of the faith. She was a missionary to South America and the Caribbean and Africa. She went to Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union to establish many churches, hundreds, like tons of churches. She did these incredible things. And so to me, in my opinion, she's as sanctified as somebody can be in this life before they meet Jesus. And I asked myself, what did she do? Did she try to be real holy? Did she try to do these things? And maybe she did. But I know one thing is that she was dependent and reliant upon God. So when God said, hey, go to South America, she said, okay. Actually, when he said go, she's like, okay. Before he said where? Before he said South America or Ukraine? Before he did that, and she said yes before knowing how she was going to get there, knowing how she was going to pay her way, knowing how she was going to support her family, knowing how, whether she would live or not, or die. She said yes, and by doing so, she was completely dependent upon God to do that. And so that is how you know if you're getting sanctified. How do you know if you're getting sanctified, if you're moving closer, if you're taking proper steps on the journey? And I think one absolute way is that reliance and that dependence upon God, upon Christ. When he asks you to do something, you hear that voice and you're dependent on him to help you. If you need, if you felt, I'll keep going back to this you thing just because that's the topic at hand. If you felt, oh, I could probably do that, but no, I don't know how to do that. I don't care. God knows how to do it. Teach at kids' church. Well, I can't teach kids. I don't know how to do that. Well, yeah, we know that. Just do it, and then we'll help you. God will help you, and things will happen. That's what it means to be dependent and reliant upon God. The next two are a little bit harder to quantify, so hopefully they make sense. Proximity to the truth. When we are unsaved, when the truth is not natural. They always say you never have to teach a kid to lie. They figure it out. But the more and more we become sanctified, the more and more we walk closer to Christ and are drawing closer and closer to his image, the truth should be become more part of us. Not only telling the truth, but walking in the truth. Knowing what Scripture would say, whether we've read it or not, because our heart beats as Christ's heart beats, that our mind thinks as Christ's mind thinks. That is what it means to be more and more sanctified. And then the last one here is the world feels just a little bit foreign. Doesn't feel quite like home. My daughter's here from college, and sometimes she says, meaning her dorm, she says, I'm going home. I'm like, you ain't going home. You're going to some dumpy little room on a, you know, and then she comes home and it feels like home. Well, that's kind of about this world. Like the world doesn't quite feel right. You know, like, and I'm a fan of this world. I think God did a bang up job making it. I love creation. I love the ocean. I love these things. I really do enjoy. I love the food. Oh my word, you got some good stuff. You know? And so I enjoy the world, but I know that when I'm closest to Christ or when I've been closest to death, it doesn't feel quite right. Jesus, I don't know why we don't hear more sermons about John 17. We probably should, but John 17 is an incredible passage of Scripture. John 17 is Jesus praying for his disciples, and it's, I don't know if it's John sneaking over when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane and listening maybe to a little bit before he fell asleep like a loser. You know, just listening, and so I don't know, but this is Jesus praying for his disciples. And then more than that, it's praying for those that would become believers because of what the disciples said, which is us. If you haven't really spent some time in John 17, I would encourage you to do so. It is an incredible passage of Scripture. But I have a short section of it here where he kind of talks about these three things. So I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That's us. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. That is an awesome passage of Scripture. And that is way more responsibility than being good. Being good ain't going to cut it. What will cut it is being sanctified, being drawn closer and closer to Christ every day, realizing that this place may not be our home, and that every day from this day till our last should be in pursuit a little bit more of righteousness. So Mrs. Strombeck is in glory today, and she is fully sanctified, and so we're all partially sanctified. And if you believe in Christ and you are justified by faith in Christ, then one day you'll stand with her and you'll be fully sanctified and glorified. If you'd stand with me, we will wrap it up. So I want to do something that's probably dumb, but we'll do it anyway. I just want you to shuffle forward just a little bit in wherever you are, just a little tiny bit. And I want that to be like a symbolic move of our next step of sanctification. It may not be a great step. It may be a little step. You might be really struggling right now. You might be just figuring a few things out, but it just takes one little step. And that's what God wants, and that's what Christ has provided, because his mercies are new every day. And I know the more we pour ourselves out every day, the more we'll feel filled up every day. And so that is this process of being sanctified. So let's pray and ask God to give us a kick in the butt if we need it, or a pat on the back, whatever it is we need right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, Lord. We thank you for the justification that has only come through your Son, Jesus, on the cross. And Father, we cherish that, Lord. And I pray that anybody has not chosen that today, Lord, would do so now, and that they would begin their very own journey of sanctification. Lord, help us to be sanctified, so that one day we will live in glory with you, fully sanctified, and bringing glory to your Father's name. Lord, help us to be what you've called us to be. Lord, teach us something new. Help us to cherish this awesome and exciting journey of sanctification. In Jesus' name, amen.